Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM, broadcast around Hawaii Island. We also post our Island Issues interviews online as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today is the first part of a two-part discussion with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim. We recorded the interview last Wednesday in his Hilo office, and although I knew that a lot of what Mayor Kim wanted to talk about was what happened on January 13th with the false missile alarm, and we do talk about that in part two, I also wanted to talk about some other relevant issues for Hawaii Island, such as the North Kona water well situation, the economy and how to jumpstart it, rat lungworm disease, and the county's role in combating it, and more. So those latter topics are what we mostly focus on this morning, and in part two, to air next Sunday morning, we have a really insightful discussion, at least I thought it was, about what happened in Hawaii County Civil Defense on that January 13th morning when many of us were a little concerned about a potential missile strike from North Korea, and Mayor Kim's philosophy about peace. Let's get to our conversation with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim. Good morning. Aloha, Mayor.
Good morning to you, Sherry. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Mayor. We're recording this interview on Wednesday, January 24th, here in Hilo, where for the past several days it has been raining like crazy. That's where I want to start, with water. On the Kona side of the island, specifically in the Kona districts, winter is the dry season, and that usual pattern is holding. And today, in January 2018, we are in the same situation we were relative to the North Kona water wells as we were 1 year ago. Three wells, non-functional. The only difference is that the County Department of Water Supply says they're able to manage the water better, and they've downgraded the restriction from 25% mandatory conservation to 10% voluntary, which are the only two options they have by law. Today, the Department of Water Supply continues to say they really have no clear idea why all the wells have been failing. They have theories, but no confirmation. And I think we all understand that Department of Water Supply is a semi-autonomous government agency, but many people are asking what steps you, as the chief executive of the entire county, might want to take at this point to get more accountability from the water board and from the department itself, whether you're considering declaring an emergency so you can call in the Army Corps of Engineers or outside experts, because there's no clear sign that this situation is going to change. Mayor?
I'm going to disagree a little bit as far as change a little bit. So let me answer part of the question first. Yes, I think we did declare a state of emergency. The purpose of that is twofold. One, it gives the mayor more authority over an agency that is not within your authority, like semi-autonomous water department. Secondly, it allows me to go over protocol in regards to purchasing any emergency supplies, et cetera, and use other kind of revenues that I may not have the authority under normal circumstances. Now, where I disagree a little bit is that it's not the same. The three wells, yes, are not functioning, but the three wells, the pumps are being repaired. Unfortunately or fortunately, these pumps are very highly specialized pumps made specifically for each well. One of the good things, and you were there, that the water department said they're looking into, and we're going to keep track, that should we make and design wells to have standard size? And when you do that, yes, the pump may be smaller, or the wells, this and that. And I think they have to measure and present, is that an acceptable thing to do? Instead of one big pump for that, you have two pumps, and then you have reserve pumps because they're all pre-made for that particular size. And I think that's a very good thing to pursue and look at. Now, in regards to directly your questions, I can promise you this, Sherry. I pretended I was a very skeptic guy of, not trusting, and told them, I'm pretending. Explain to me about these pumps. Now, first of all, one, two, three, four, five, right? And I cannot tell you anything more than it was a lousy coincidence of breakdown, lousy coincidence of timing that this happened. I talked to the company, the engineers responsible for fixing these pumps, you know, and they have no motive in us outside of getting paid and fixing the pump, and they bill it for us. And it's, Harry, just one of those things. You can go 30 years sometimes, these pumps will not give. And I have pumps, not I, the Department of Water Supply do have pumps that have been there for 25 years plus and no breakdown. And there's no other explanation I could give except that's a lousy luck of the draw. When at the time, you know, we were not making fun of it. I did say it publicly once, you know, not to make fun of it. I told Department of Supply, you better go to church. Yeah, you know, there's no other explanation. Did you go to church? And, you know, I hope people, you know, church don't think I'm making fun of going to church, but that's what we do to keep each other sane. There was no explanation, Sherry. You know, it just happened. And I'll tell you, I remember the time, as you know, they went, got this pump fixed. Within a week, it broke down again. And you should see the frustration. What the heck? So that doesn't explain it, because I know I'm not explaining it. I'm just saying what happened.
Well, I think that nobody denies that the folks inside the Department of Water Supply are hard workers. But is it time to call in an outside expert, somebody who might be able to do more of an overall look? And it appears that you are the one who actually could do that. I mean, I'm thinking Army Corps of Engineers, because I saw what they did in New Orleans with pumps. Maybe there's somebody else, but what do you think? Because you are the mayor, and I believe you're the only one who could do that.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. I know this is not what you meant, but same thing like the missile crisis thing. It's very important that the people trust us. You know of that, of the importance within me, because how do I expect the public to listen if they don't trust the source? And I know how important it is that we fix this so people trust the Department of Water Supply or me or the people we use. And we have talked about, you know, who is there, because up to this point, it is basically the company we deal with that makes the pump, and that's so few in the nation. If I remember correctly, I think only two or three in the nation that makes this kind of pump, so you can see how limited. And you mentioned, you know, can we call a Corps to do an outside assessment? I've already talked to the Corps. Can you do this kind of things without any emergency status? And they're going to get back to me where they can do this, because they said they've never done it, you know. And first of all, they got to find out, do they have the expertise that they can bring in to review? Give me a call within a month, because I was told they'll give me an answer within a month.
Oh, good. Well, I'll get back to you on that.
I asked them, not now, I asked them 3-4 months ago. Okay.
Well, so if you asked them 3 or 4 months ago, have they gotten back?
No, they gave me the time, say first of February or so. Okay.
Okay. You know, regarding the North Kona water situation, people have conserved. I mean, it's really been good. I can see it in my own water bill. But one of the results of that is that the revenues for the water department are now going down. And the chair of the water board even told me that he is concerned that they may have to raise rates because they're spending all their money on all this capital improvement. And that's just one more additional fee that users may have to pay. And that leads me to the county budget, because we're at the time where you are going to have to turn in a budget by, I believe, March 1st to the county council, or thereabouts. And it appears that the county budget is going to go up this year, partly because of civil service raises, partly because of the more than $1 million going to 38 county management employees, which I know you did not control. We suspect, I would like to think, that the county could get an increase in the amount of transient accommodation tax we get via the state legislature, but I don't imagine that's going to happen.
I hope you're wrong.
Oh, gosh, I hope I'm wrong, too. You know, there's bills the county mayors have all put in a bill to ask for more TAT, but maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't. You've also put in a request to the county council to consider adding on to the general excise tax here in the county, which the county now has the authority to do if we do it by May 31st and devote that money to roads and transit. But that sort of leads to, right now, the budget's around $491 million. It's going to continue growing unless something is done. And I'm asking about whether it's time to do the something that is a complete relook of county government, because it feels like county government, the cost and the size is beyond what this county and our, in general, property taxpayers can handle if it keeps going up like this. So just give me your philosophical thoughts about whether it's time to consider a real analysis and streamlining of county government.
No. There's no sense beating around the bush. I'm not saying streamlining some costs. That's a yes automatically. We constantly have to look at that. And then when I was at state legislature a couple of days ago, I sincerely told them, you know, the embarrassment as being mayor, and then you tell them of hardship, and then the next day there's a headline of the raise you're going to get. I told them it's really embarrassing, you know, and it is. But in regards to costs or why it's going to go up, read any day's paper concern, every district wants more police officer. And as I think you know, one more officer per watch adds $500,000 to the budget, just one, because it's a 7-day-a-week kind of thing. And you need more than one. You need five for, you know, one slot and those kind of thing. Outside of that, the programs of the homeless, it's not, you know, we're trying to make sure we get the federal and state assistance on that, so it's not as expensive as that. Every time there's a population shift, along with that is insurance rates as well as along with that fire department. Those are the kind of public service jobs that people want to increase, and they're very expensive things to increase. That's why I've said very fast no. Those are the things. Let's take a very big one, transit. There was a time when transit system on Hawaii Island was really a small part of the budget because, you know, people didn't depend on transit system. But as people move into the country, as costs, et cetera, the subsidy, I remember when it first started, you know, it was in a low of $2 million, et cetera. Now it is, well, 10 times above that. And I think you know the demand for a better transit system, which is subsidized by the county government by a huge percentage. We're talking about 80-90% subsidy by county property, I mean transportation, through fuel tax, et cetera. You know that's going to go up. How much, I don't know. We're looking at that now because we've got to make it gradual. So I just mentioned three things, the police. I'll just stick with that for a while. I must have had 4 or 5 community meetings, every one of them the same. We need more police officers. The last one was Hawaiian Ocean View of the cattle people saying, you know, you got to have police officers patrol regularly. And I told them straight off, I'm not going to be able to do it. There's no way the police officer is going to have that kind of bunch of people that can send an officer to patrol the ranchlands. Although I do know we have to improve. And the police chief said that. We'll see how we can schedule it better, you know. But it's not going to be to the frequency that you would want it. And every time we have this population shift, like right now, surprisingly, huge shift of population. I just came back last night from Pahala night meeting, Kamehameha School. Nothing new what we're talking about. And just to work with them on the programs. And we're looking at population of Pahala. I'm so old, remember the time we were talking, Pahala was the center. And so new people, they were questioning me, why do you have the hospital here? Why do you have the school here? Why do you have a new gym here? And you listen, because that's valid, right? Because they come from Hawaiian Ocean View Estates. That's around the south and go up north again. And every data shows that's where the population growth is. But the data also shows there's no water there. They do want, are you going to extend the county water line? Yeah, well, naturally, we did what we could in regards to the emergency. That one pump that proved to be very poor, less than 100,000 gallons capacity to sustain. 100,000 gallons is a nada for the needs. But there's no real good groundwater system there. So water department, if you call them up, what was my latest request of them? Please make a preliminary estimate on what would be the best route from the north or from the east side or west side to extend the line from Ho'okena area or from Pahala side. Let's see a rough cost what it would take. And that's where we are, because we know in time we have to. Hawaiian Ocean View Estates now is the hub. I mean, I can give you one example that shows all of that. Malama Market is at Hawaiian Ocean View Estates. No water, but they're business people. They know that's where the growth is. And Bahala, believe it or not, less than 2,000 people, not one store, because every store that has opened up have to close very shortly because there's not enough customers. And those are the things that a fast answer, no. The size of government does not go down unless the people say, no, we don't want any more of this. Cut these other things. And I know that it's hard to accept, but we are trying to cut wherever we can. If you look at our last year budget, only a couple of departments got increased. The rest was status quo. You call the finance director, what is our direction for budget prep? Zero growth. And from there, we'll see what has to be raised.
It's funny, you mentioned water and ocean view, and that well is broken too, as you know.
Yeah, but that well was not for homes, you know, not for portable.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken, your host and producer. We're here Sundays, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And we post these interviews as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today, we're talking with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim in an interview recorded last Wednesday, January 24th, in his Hilo office. And that will continue this morning with more about his budget philosophy, a little about building permits, a little about rat lungworm disease and how to combat it. Next Sunday morning, we continue our conversation with Mayor Kim about the January 13th false missile alert, what the state did, what Hawaii County Civil Defense did, and the mayor's philosophy about peace. The conversation turned out to be, in my mind, really interesting, so I hope you join us then as well. My plan for February 11th is to talk with Hawaii County EMTs and paramedics and the medical director of Hawaii County Fire Department. Now back to Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim.
Last year, one of the things that was talked about at a budget forum in Kona was the county's willingness to do things like take potential revenue generators such as the Hilo Muni Golf Course, raise the fees by around $5 to wipe out the $600,000 deficit, or perhaps charge off-island visitors for going to the zoo, because that gets about 300,000 visitors a year and a lot of cruise ship visitors come. So are you considering those kinds of things to perhaps generate revenue for the next budget go-around?
I don't want to sound hypocritical, but the answer is yes, that I don't want to do it. And let me explain that. You know, who wants to do it? I'm so proud of the philosophy establishing our tax system, property tax and zoos and what they call user fees. I wanted families to be able to find places where they don't have to pay, regardless of who they are. And I know what you said about visitors and that. I went to the mainland for a short time. I was so proud of Hawaii. Kid can go to a swimming pool free anytime. I like that, you know, because there's a lot of people that makes a difference. Use our tennis courts free. And I know user fees in Altec, Oregon. Boy, every time you turn around is a user fee. Somebody invited me to go to 4th of July fireworks display while I was a student there. Oh, great, you know. They had it by the lake, and here was his guard collecting money for every car that went in. And that's the way it is. You go to hunt, user fees. Fish, user fees. Swimming pool, user fees. Transfer stations, user fees, right? Will we become like that someday, Sherry? On a personal basis, I hope not. On a survival basis where people say, hey, they use, they pay. Like your golf. That's a good example of that's not as bad, right? The golfers. That you can control. It's not a matter you have to throw away your rubbish or whatever. Oh, that's the only place you can go and swim or whatever. The last time I was here, we increased it. I can fully understand Kona. Very little change in the percentage, maybe a little less because places like Puna and Hilo, they increase more as far as collection. But in general, it's still about 70% west side. And they look at Hilo and say, whoa, you know, where's our golf course? We pay. And it's all valid kind of thing. I just responded, we look it into being very honest, we're not going to be able to build a course and provide for that course. What we're looking, that letter was written to them, that when I was here last time, we looked at subsidy, and we're going to look at that again. And yes, we're looking at the golf course fees being increased. If I can comment on the luckiness of us, meaning the island, the west side have those huge resorts. They have those beautiful homes along the resorts and golf courses, and their selling point are the golf course and the revenues. I remember in a friendly way, Bill McMorrow, who is the CEO, owner of Kornaiki, said, "Harry, do you know how much property tax I pay?" And he's laughing. He's not grumbling. We're just joking. And I said, "Yeah, we appreciate every damn dollar of it." And now he has taken over Kona Village, and he will pay more. I'm talking millions. And we're lucky to have that. As I tell people, just imagine if we had to depend on Puna or Kau, which is, let's take Kau. There isn't a single resort there. You take Puna, a bigger population than Kona. There isn't a single hotel. And most of them are ag. And that's why the revenues are small. That's why, regardless of the fairness or unfairness, we are so lucky as an island to have that side.
I want to switch topics and turn to rat lungworm disease, which is a disease that absolutely is focused on our island. We have more cases than any place. And in fact, even Dr. John Martell and the members of the Rat Lungworm Task Force with whom I spoke acknowledged that even the spinal tap is not a definitive measure. So they think many more people have rat lungworm disease here than the state is willing to admit. And when I say the state, I mean the State Department of Health. Now, the state legislature and the State Department of Health have declined to fund the only research program into rat lungworm disease in the state, and that is at the UH Hilo College of Pharmacy. And whether they should or shouldn't, they haven't, and they appear to be refusing. Now, I know we're going into a new legislative session, so there might be a change. But in the meantime, this is a Hawaii County issue. There are some funds that could possibly be tapped to provide research funding for UH Hilo College of Pharmacy and Dr. Susan Jarvie's lab. The Puna Geothermal Fund, the Shippers Wharf Fund, which I found out about is like a 100-year-old fund intended to address disease and such. Do you have a willingness to consider providing some funding to the UH Hilo College of Pharmacy, given that it looks like the state and Department of Health don't feel that this is an issue that concerns them as much as it concerns us?
First of all, I think you know me a little better than most people, Sherry, because we go back so far. And I hope you're not going to, people would interpret this as bragging or egotistical, but I know the seriousness of the rat lung. If you call the governor's office and ask them, why did you develop a rat lung, you know, working group? When did you do it? And I know they'll tell you, well, Harry Kim came in and said, we got to do this. And I wasn't mayor then. I did that because a good friend of mine, you know, the husband called and said, my wife is not. And it was a very personal thing. On stats, Center for Disease Control has identified Hawaii Island as the epicenter of rat lung. Center for Disease Control have identified Puna as the epicenter on the island. Center for Disease Control have identified the Hilo Medical Center as the epicenter of treatment. Nobody can deny that. And for a long time, I swear, I was talking to a wall when you're talking to Wahoo people, you know? Rat lung? At first, it was this crude. Well, it's only guys who don't wash their vegetables. It's a lifestyle. So what are you talking about, you know? You mean it's only a few people that eat leafy vegetables? They didn't even know how you get it and those things. At least we're better today. The governor's working group is there. Jarvie is part of it, you know? Now we're getting more and more support from the state. The legislatures are aware. Hey, because this is not going to come out right, but I'll say it. I was kind of relieved when I saw in a paper that somebody on another island got it. Because, you know, all the time, that's Puna or whatever. And there's a mentality of this, Oahu-centric or places. And so we're better today. We have a chance, I think, this session, a good chance, that the rat lung is a serious problem. And that we have to address it. Now, your specific question in regards to using the geothermal asset fund, that's not for me to decide. That's by law what it was supposed to be used for. And when I look at it, because they appealed to me, can we? Will I support it? And I looked at it, and I think there's a misuse of that fund for what it was intended to do. But that's besides the point in the sense that we have got to find revenues for them, because this is something that's not going to go away.
How about the Shippers Wharf Fund? Is that not intended to be used for health outbreaks?
Yeah, you could, because the shippers fund was given to the county government for authority. Coincidentally, when I was here mayor, God, it seems like I was here 100 years, it feels like it. And I know the rules of it because I said, oh, let me look at that, you know, to agree to do that. And you could use it for that. I won't deny that. There's a huge amount of money for it in that fund. But my emphasis is going to be twofold. I've got to see if we can get the State Department of Health and the legislature to understand this is your responsibility. And to me, it's not only the source of the funds, it's them recognizing it is their responsibility. And I don't watch TV much, but I did, you know, I was told, hey, watch, because Department of Health have some pretty good ads on that, in regards to that. And I just want to make sure they know that's not all we want from you. You know, we want you to study, we want you to provide funds for, we want your administrative support all the way up to the CDC and see where else we can get the funds. And if the Shippers Wharf is the only fund, of course we'll see if that's the only source we can tap.
Mayor Kim, something important for our economic growth and something that will put more money into government revenues is good, positive building projects, especially commercial projects. And I'm now hearing more from both East and West Hawaii. I've talked to developers on both sides to make sure I'm getting the big picture. And they are saying it is increasingly difficult to work through the process. One developer told me that he has a project. And now I guess the county inspectors are allowed to initiate delays in doing inspections if they want to. One guy said he's been delayed 12 times, and the last time it was, and we want to delay your inspection indefinitely. I'm hearing it literally from all over. And these are people who are reputable builders, been here a long time, know how to work the process. They said the attitude seems to be now that they, the builders, are assumed to be distrustworthy and that they're somehow out to gyp the county. And I wanted to check it out with a lot of different people to make sure I was getting the full story. So I don't know if you're hearing this, but it sounds to me like we need to really take a look at getting the economy moving by allowing these projects to complete if they are good, solid projects.
Number one, I was shaking my head no as you were talking. I was shaking my head no that I've never heard that, truthfully, that we're making them the bad person. And yes, I think if you talk to the administrators of planning and public works, at one of the first meetings I called, the both of them, this is before I got inaugurated, and that they understand my priority that we got to address this. For the very same reason you said, outside of the frustration of delay, time is money. That's point one. Point number two, we need development here. You know, you delay this project, obviously you delay the development, as in the use of development revenues, et cetera, et cetera. And why I feel a little better today is because I finally got a deputy director whose job was, so he knows all the things, and he just reported to me last week.
Deputy Director in what department?
Public Works. And to take a look at all the things that they can address. A lot of it is not county government, but that's an excuse, right? If something has to go to state, you know, there's obviously a delay there. But there's no denying we got to be better. There's no denying we have to work on it faster. There's no denying of exactly what you said, the importance of, and it's not the only reason, but the very important things of economic growth. Without building permits being approved, the project cannot go forward. And each project, I don't care how small or how big, like Kona Village area thing, you know, means job and more money coming into here. And anything of business, almost 100% of the monies are new monies to this island, and that's what you got to do. I mean, push forward to get good growth.
You know, in some states, they've actually turned the function of inspections and that over to either private companies, or they allow the builder's architect to do self-certification that they have met all the specs. Is that something that you might consider as options?
I beat you to it this time. Yes, we looked into that. Matter of fact, we called people for the mailing. I did. And see how they do it, the plus and minuses of it. One of the biggest things that people need to understand, if you're a homeowner, you know, that's the simplest thing to do is put yourself in that and just times it by many times over because now it's a business or resort. Signing the permit means only one thing. I verify that this permit, these drawings, this application meets all the federal, state, and county requirements, I will be liable for it. I found out very fast that nobody wants to sign that. The only way we got that part of it passed so we could expedite it is like Hawaii Plain and Mill, who has package homes that has been done many, many times over and over. So it's a rubber stamp, and if everybody feel confident of that. But when you talk about a complex development who has a lot of subcontractors and every business who just stick to resort, it's a multitude of subcontractors, whether it be the person pouring the cement or whatever, making a pool or whatever. You're not going to find one person that will say, I'll sign for him. And when I talked to Marilyn, for example, they said, we have three people that can sign, or four people, the architect, contractor, the owner, or the financier. And, you know, any one of them can sign, and then they can walk away the building permit in a very short time. They just verify and say, I've met with the professional group, and I don't blame them for not wanting to sign it. But know this, we're still looking to do it, of maybe spots here and there we can do that. What we have to improve is also the inspection, because there's a lot of time backlog. A lot of the inspections is not when you're finished, it's along the way, right? You can't call me in to inspect a swimming pool base when it's filled in. Poor example, maybe, but I remember that one case, this guy violated it because he poured the cement and then called the inspection, and we didn't know if, you know, it met the requirements. So about those are the things, planning department especially, public works especially, if you call them, they will tell you exactly what I told you. They know this is high priority. They have to do in-house kind of thing to see how we can get better. I don't want to minimize this, Sherry. You got to know how important it is that I know how important it is. You ask them, when did I call a first meeting telling them this is high priority? It's about a month before I got inaugurated.
That was a whole year ago, wasn't it? A year and 2 months.
Don't remind me of that. And different things have been done. You know, it doesn't show much in the end result, but there have been some improvement. We'll continue to focus on it.
And with that, we're going to take a pause in our conversation with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim and pick it up next Sunday morning when we talk mostly about the January 13th false missile alert and Mayor Kim's philosophy about peace. It turned out to be a really interesting conversation to me, so I hope you join us. This is Island Issues. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bracken. Until next Sunday, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.